Hello?
Jeremy, how are you?
Fine. How are you, Chef?
Good. Your brother, did you work for me?
Of course. Yeah, he worked at Broadway Deli for you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
when I was still skinny and my beard was dark. Black.
Yeah.
All right. Where are you?
I'm in New York City. I'm at work, actually.
Are you a chef?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
I want to tell you, boss, you're not supposed to work for somebody else when the boss is paying you.
Well, it's okay. It's almost vacation time, so, you know.
Yeah, it's quiet now in New York, huh?
Well, for us, I'm in a private club, so I'm getting ready to go on vacation soon, so.
Where are you going?
Switzerland.
Switzerland?
Yeah, and then hopefully to France as well.
Where are you going in Switzerland?
Well, my sister is in Lampenburg, which is next to Basel, the little town.
Yeah, it's north. Huh?
Yeah.
You should go. One day you should try to go to Zermatt. Have you been to Zermatt?
I haven't been there, no.
My gosh, it's so gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
It's a dream place.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, shoot, talk to me.
Okay. Well, my producer, Jonathan Fields, I think you also know him. He used to work as a bartender and waiter, I think. And,
yeah.
He had a specific question that he wanted me to ask you, so I'll put that one first because you'll be able to answer that pretty quickly, I think.
Okay.
Who was the worst waiter you ever had?
Oh, the one who's going to hire tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't hurt anybody. Oh, who's the worst waiter we ever had? The worst waiter?
Well, no, I was assuming you would say my producer, Jonathan, because he worked for you as well. So.
No, he's a good guy.
Oh, okay. I just stuck that one in for him, so.
Michel, he did talk a little bit about, I did talk to me a little bit about him, too.
Okay, good.
He was one of them. Maybe I give him the goal, I give him the 2-star.
Okay, great. He'll be happy. Let me first ask you a little bit about yourself. You know, you come from Brittany.
Yeah.
And I really was interested in, because for me, I always have memories of certain things that I had as a child when I was born in Germany, but I lived in France as well. And there's always certain memories that pop up as in terms of food when I go to eat there. And then when I have it in my mind all the time, I say, wow, I really remember that, you know, Linzer tort or something. Is there something specifically from Brittany that you still retain in your mind and is still in your repertoire?
There's one thing I used to hate very, very much. My grandma used to give me in Britain you have a special country bread. We call it, you have a special name for that, but it's pain plié, I mean folded bread, like a, and she used to give me a very thin slice of that bread, because it was a country, and it was a very firm bread, and she used to add a nice layers of very thick honey.
Uh-huh.
I hate that. And I, you know what I used to do? She was, did you finish your bread? You know what I used to do? I used to stick the bread under the table. Boom. That. And because I used to hate that. I used to hate that texture of almost like a chunky, very thick honey. I didn't like it. And about 5 minutes later, the bread was landing on the floor, you know, because it didn't stick too long. And I used to hate that. But the thing I remember the most, I used to enjoy myself eating this crepe, the big crepe, Brittany crepe, very, very thin, with salted butter. That was delicious.
Uh-huh.
That was delicious. The crepe was delicious. And the andouille, that special andouille over there, like a tripe sausage, was delicious, too.
Huh. Well, I haven't been to Brittany yet, but I really love the music from there, so eventually I'll have to make it up to that part of France.
You know, you should go, because it is not very expensive. It's one region of France. It's very Breton, very, it's still like maybe 2,000 years ago. It's still the same. I think nothing changed.
Right.
It's a very beautiful town. They're beautiful. It's very nice.
Well, you started out as a pastry chef.
Yeah.
And you had a great mentor in Monsieur Nenotre.
Yeah.
Why did you decide from pastry to go into cooking? And are there a little bit of...
No, because when I was a very young kid, I used to my dream was to become a cook. And I was looking for a job, and my mother told me that we to become a perfect cook, you have to learn how to bake. You have to be pastry chef first, which was logical. And but what happened after 3 years, I find a beautiful lady who give me a few kisses, and after that, give me a very, very fast, she give me a baby. And it was tough. It was almost impossible for me to change my profession and going into cooking. I mean, in cooking in savory. That's why I stayed pastry chef for a while. And after the army, I went to the army, and after the army, I went to work for Lenote, which was absolutely a fabulous man to work for. And that's why I never become a. It took me a while to do my dream, to fulfill my dream. I was a pastry chef for 20 years, and after that, I jumped into savory food.
And how hard was it to make that change?
It was not hard because I was my pastry chef. I used to make some dessert in the morning, but I was spending my time cooking all the time because my pastry chef was almost like a bistro. It was like we had cases with dessert, and we were serving food in a restaurant. We had like a 40 seats. And I was serving food all the time, and I was trying to get better and better and better. And before I opened Citrus, I had maybe 15 years of training on food because I was cooking for my customer at the little bistro.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I started out basically learning to cook first, and then I always liked pastry because I always, liked eating it, of course. I went to school for baking bread, and I enjoy baking bread at home a lot. So that's sort of my passion now, to get out of cooking and become a baker.
You know, I tell you one thing. If you like to have a good life, you better off be a baker or pastry chef, because you will be with your morning. You don't care if you're not with your family because they are sleeping.
Uh-huh.
If you have to go to work at like 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, I used to go to work at 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock. That was okay. But I was with my family at night.
Sure.
But as a chef, you will never spend time with your family. Every night you're going to work. It's better. You're better off to be a pastry chef or a baker. And in one way, it's easier because everything is like you have a recipe. You have a code. I mean, you say 1 pound of that, half a pound of that, 5 grams of that. And, I think it's easier to be a pastry chef. You will have a better life. Maybe you will not make the same amount of money, but you will have a better life.
So you're happy having made the change, even though it's a bit harder for your family?
Yeah, I'm happy because I love to cook. Because being a chef is different. When you're a pastry chef, you're dealing with few fruits, of course, and you have butter and chocolate, and after that, that's it, flour, butter, chocolate, flour. So they're always the same. Oh, but when you cook, you have all the fishes, all the poultries, it's vegetables. You have it's better. And on top of that, what I like to do, what I enjoy myself, to see my customer eating too. You see them.
Mm-hmm.
Pastry shop, the maid pick up the cakes and take that cake home, and we don't know what's going on after that.
Uh-huh.
It's nice to see your customer. You're like a theater.
You were in California for many years, and you made the change to come back to the right coast instead of staying at the left coast. What was the reason for that?
I think I did enjoy myself in California. California is absolutely gorgeous, but I did enjoy myself living in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
L.A., I think, because of Four Seasons, and L.A. is a huge town with no downtown. I mean, it's too hot and nobody's walking on the street. I do enjoy myself in D.C. D.C. is a wonderful town. And the sophistication of the East Coast. I think the East Coast are enjoying French food a little bit more than the West Coast. I think so. That's what I feel. And here we... And the other thing in L.A. is I think sometimes the restaurant, they age very fast. That's why... We need to give a restaurant a facelift every 2 years.
Kind of like the stars in Hollywood.
Just kind of the most of the people in Hollywood. They need a facelift every 5 minutes.
And what was your compromise rather than coming to like a big metropolitan city like New York? Was it because it's the city that you didn't like it, that you have more countryside in Washington?
But you know what? I was thinking about New York, but for the family, New York is not exactly... You should see the way we live. I have 6 kids. Mm-hmm. I live in Potomac. We have a nice home. It's 20 minutes away from me. I think for me, my wife, my family, I think it's better to live in D.C. It's almost like the way we used to live in L.A., but we are in D.C. And I remember talking to Daniel, when Daniel Boulou was telling me, Michel, he was telling to me, oh, you're so lucky to live in California. You have your home. You have blah, blah, blah. In New York, you live, most of the New Yorkers, they live in an apartment. I live in a beautiful home, swimming pool.
Sure.
It's nice, it's nice.
Okay. You started out rather young at...
And one thing I want to say.
Oh.
New York doesn't need me. There are plenty of great, great restaurateurs in New York.
Okay.
They don't need me. In D.C., you know, we have some good, very good restaurateurs, but... One more, it's okay.
So there's still some room.
Yeah, there's still some room. We're still waiting for some more.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw an article on the internet that where you were tasting bread with some other chefs. So I was rather interested in that, and I read about it because the quality of French bread is kind of gone down as well. Americans are becoming known for their bread because of the Coupe du Monde.
Oh, that's right. But here, if you have a chance to come to D.C., Mark Furstenberg at Breadline is doing a fabulous bread. Fabulous.
Uh-huh.
And I think he did, when we taste the bread, his bread come up first. It was beautiful bread, crispy, wonderful bread.
You started out at the age of 14 in the apprenticeship system in France. Do you think the United States is lacking because of not having a system like that?
I don't think so.
No,
it's okay. I think it's easier to. I think when you're 14 years old, you know, it's not like being 20 or 25 because you most of the time 25, you have a girlfriend, you need some, you spend more money. But when you're 14, in those days we used to live over the restaurant. We were not making any money, but we didn't need any money. Because you're only 14 at that. I mean, 3 years of working hard without making any money, that was okay. That was fine. I think. But one thing I really liked about nowadays, if you come to my restaurant, most of my kids, the young kids who are working for me, most of them are college graduates.
Uh-huh.
And they're wonderful. They're smart. I think the kitchen is getting smarter.
Okay.
I'm not smarter, but we have more educated young men in our kitchen. And when they make a decision to be in the kitchen, it's because they want to be in the kitchen.
And what about women in the kitchen?
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. But
okay.
I don't want them to be too pretty, otherwise they're going to drive me crazy.
Okay.
I love the lady in the kitchen. They're first, they're more focused, and they are wonderful. But the problem is ladies to be in the kitchen. It's tough for the ladies to be in the kitchen because as soon as they get married, they have to be home at night. That's a problem.
Yeah.
But they're wonderful in the kitchen. They're wonderful. They're great.
What differences do you see in French cooking today here in the United States and in France? Is France sort of like behind what the United States is doing, or are we in just different spheres maybe of cooking influences?
I think the cooking in this country now, the French in this country, like me, I try to understand, I try to give to my customer what they like to eat. It's the same thing in France. That's why the food is a little bit different. But in France, it's, I don't know, they have no problem in France because most of the restaurants are very, very expensive. I mean, the 3-star, but here, you go to France tomorrow, you eat in Alsace-Lorraine. Alsace, they have the influence of Germany. You have sauerkraut, you have smoked meats. And if you go to south of France, you have the influence of Italy, you have olive oil, you have tomatoes. But it's still French food, but you have a different style, different region. I think it's the same thing in America. Now I'm still making some French food with the influence of the East Coast. I try to give my food, you have less butter, less rich. And sometimes we, just like in France, even now, sometimes we have some influence of Asia. We have a little bit of soy sauce, a little bit of ginger here. It's the same thing in France. I think that's the way they are.
Yeah, because I noticed when I went to eat in, like, Oriental restaurants in Europe, I even said, wow, it's different than American food, you know, American ethnic food or Chinese food or whatever. So it's there is always a taste difference and a quality of product, too, that I think are different as well.
You think it's better in France or here? Tell me.
The last time I was in France, it was in August, so it's the worst time to go to Paris. But I still enjoyed it. It was nothing like going to a pretty lousy-looking, what you'd call a diner here, or brasserie over there, and saying, let me have a plate of, you know, meat. And you had a beautiful pâté, a nice jambon de Bayonne, and you said, wow, that's really delicious.
No, that's right. That.
So there's more a tradition, I think, than what is here, more flash in the pan, as you could say.
You know, I'm building, and I'm opening in a few months, I'm opening a brasserie, an American brasserie called Central. Central.
Uh-huh.
And what my dream is to try to deliver some great American food. I've been here for 32 years,
right.
And I believe that you have great food in America. But sometimes we don't, the chef who are cooking the great food, they don't do a good job. We're trying to cook the American food. They don't do a good job, but because
yeah.
We have... I mean, this morning I was walking on corned beef. I think corned beef is absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
But you have to make it good. I'm going to make the corned beef myself. I'm going to corn my beef. And I hope I'm going to be able to create a wonderful American restaurant.
I'll have to go.
You better,
for sure.
Better go.
Yeah, because even here in New York, I noticed, I mean, there were a lot of old ethnic, like Jewish restaurants that were really great, had wonderful things. And almost all of that is gone. Now it's really, you know, either a really great restaurant or a new thing, or the trends are so fast here that you kind of like lose what you have of vestiges of old New York. So I kind of miss that old food sort of in a way that we used to have.
Like which restaurant you used to go, but you're too young. How old are you?
I'm 42.
Oh, you're young. You're still young. You're not young. You're almost retired young.
Okay.
42 is very young. I'm 58. But in New York, they used to have wonderful restaurants. But each time when I go to New York, I always add up to Daniel or Bernardin or Percy or I don't know. It's always,
yeah.
It's, because they're all my friends.
Sure.
But I hope I'm going to be able to come up with the restaurant. They don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Now.
That would be wonderful. I'll definitely visit for that reason.
Another place you can sit down and relax is the democratization of citronelle. Not too expensive, fun and a little nosy, just fun. But also like a modern way of dining,
uh-huh.
with a taste of the past.
Yeah, because I went to Montreal last August, actually. And I was so surprised at how wonderful the food was there. I mean, they have great products. They have really, like, it's like being in France, but closer.
Oh.
And they had, like, really wonderful places to eat and even great Jewish delis, which were completely different than delis that are here, you know.
Wow.
So that's a really abundant market there. Unfortunately, it's too cold there in the wintertime.
I want to go because it's Montreal is good.
Montreal.
And you speak French over there?
Well, I remember a little story here that we can fit in. When I went to go visit my brother for his wedding, and he was working for a mutual friend of yours, I think, Pascal Bigot.
Pascal Bigot, well, yeah, he used to be a baker.
Big pastry guy. Bread baker, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he invited us to lunch at your restaurant, and he said, oh, I want you to meet Michel, you know, and you came out to visit us, and my mother started talking to you in English, and you looked over at her and said, are you Felice's mother? And she said, yes. She goes, well, how come you're not speaking French? And she started, oh, I'm sorry. And so she started to speak French, and then you asked me, and what about you? And I said, oh, forget it. I don't even speak French that much anymore. So you said to my mother, shame on you. You should be teaching him how to speak your language.
That was not nice.
It was funny, though. I still remember. It was pretty funny.
Shame on you. You don't even teach your kids how to speak.
I know, and now I speak more Spanish than I do French, so.
Español también. Español de la cocina.
Claro, sí.
All right, keep on blabbering to me.
I have a question for you, because I read this, and I was really shocked, because you were in California for so long. Do you still dislike cilantro?
Oh, the worst thing in the that thing should be erased from Earth.
The face of the Earth? Oh, no.
Oh, I can't stand that. I can't.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Even the name is hurting my feeling.
My mother even said that when she first ate it, and now she loves it because she said, ew, it reminded me of when I was little and we had these bugs in France, and if you put it in your mouth, it tasted just like that. I said, really? I said, you were eating the bugs in France?
No, I think she's lying. I never ate those bugs in France. I never. She's lying.
Yeah. Well, no, she's from the south of France, so.
Even in France, they don't need bugs to taste like cilantro. No.
All right. How do you describe your cooking today now that you're not in California, then you're in Washington? Is it French-American, or is it Michel Richard?
I think it's Michel Richard food. I think it, of course, have the influence of the influence come from what I find in the market. You know, you look around and uh-huh. the season, and a few months ago, I was doing a lot of things with beets. Beets and potato, beets and leeks, beets and spice, beets and vinegar, beets. But now I do everything. We do everything with green beans or tomato. Now we have the tomato.
Sure.
I think my food is impressionist food. The chef now, to be different than the other, they have to have their own personality.
Uh-huh.
You have to. People come here and they want to see. They want to be surprised. But I want to be far away from new Spanish food. I think I try to cut out the new kind of Spanish food with foam and all of that.
The laboratory food.
Yeah, you see that, but I don't know. If you ask me if you have one plate of foam and one plate of potato and bacon sautéed with a little bit of garlic,
bacon potatoes.
Oui! Of course, bien sûr. I would go for that, but. I try to be to give my food a lot of texture, very fresh food. We don't blanch the green beans. When somebody wants green beans, we cook them at the last second in chicken stock. The green beans, no more blanching and dumped in ice water for 2 hours.
Yeah, because you're killing the nutrients.
That's right, and the vitamin C disappears within 20 minutes after cooking.
Sure.
And all of that, we like the asparagus. When you come to the restaurant, we cook the asparagus. If we need to cook 6 asparagus, we cook them at the last second with the lid on top, a little bit of butter, of course, a little bit of butter, not much, a little bit of butter, and they are glazed. They have a concentration of flavor. I love that food, that new style of food. Because Nouvelle Cuisine, they used to boil and steam everything.
Yeah.
And now it's different. We braise, we cook, we spend more time over the stove, and we cook everything almost at the last second. But and my food, of course, I think it's still French. It's still French, but French modern, French actuel, French...
Terroir?
Terroir, not terroir. Yeah, a little bit, but we do some kind of braised meat, short ribs. Oh, now we introduce tongues. People love start to enjoy tongues. We do pied cochons too, pig feet. And I think it's funny now we do. I'm doing French food with a little touch of old. Maybe you're right. Terroir tradition.
What do you think then about chefs that use the ingredients that come from far away or different countries or that are not even in season?
Oh, if they're not in season, it's bad. But if they are in season in Australia, and when they arrive here and they're delicious, why not?
Yeah.
First, Paul Bocuse, a few years ago, was selling a book for me, and he came to L.A. He was right. But, Michel, you see, I didn't sign the book to a great chef. I didn't say great French chef. I said, how come you didn't say great French chef? And Paul Bocuse's answer was, you, Michel, you are using soy sauce or using that, but this is not real French. How about vanilla in France? It's French. How about black peppers? It's French. How about a lot of things in France? We use banana. It's French. Pineapple is French. And he changed. He had French. Because we've been using for years and years and years food from all over the world. Why do we stop now? We should keep doing it.
Right.
And we should respect the season. We have to make sure the ingredients the way we are going to land on a customer plate should be under perfect condition and good.
Are you using organic products outright, or are you just...
We use some, but we try, but the consistency sometimes is tough.
Sure.
The regulation, I don't know if they... Oh, no, I don't want to say bad thing, but I love to. The price of that is pretty hot. I'm pretty high, but whenever we can, we use it. Whenever we can, but it's tough to get it all the time.
So far as food is like an entertainment thing, I mean, we have food television, and the markets are always changing. What do you think the food industry's direction is today?
It's taking a wonderful direction. I think the food is the chef is going to have to. I think the great restaurant, the very expensive restaurant, the one who looks like church, they're going to disappear.
Uh-huh.
Or we will have less and less. But the food is fun. It is. I like the way that you're going to be able to even to go to this kind of strange food, modern food from Spain. That's sometimes once every 10 years you can have that kind of food and have fun. And I like the idea you can go to a nice... The best place for food in the world, I think, is New York. They have the best food, the best West Italian, the best French, the best Japanese, Nobu, all of that. That's fabulous. It's fabulous. And you have to create some fun restaurant. People, they just go out, but not to eat, but they can eat in their own home, but they want to go out and have fun and meet people. We almost like the doctors. And you have a bad day, and sometimes you've been working very hard all day long. The bottom line doesn't look good. You just go out to a restaurant, you forget all of that, and the next day you're ready for a wonderful day, for a better day.
Uh-huh.
And we are the doctors of America.
And what is your favorite food?
Favorite food? You know, something I've been thinking. Food tastes great when you go to a friend's restaurant, when you have a dinner with a good friend. And I think when you sit down with the right person, with a good friend, everything tastes good, I think. Yeah, but my favorite food, of course, is French, because
okay.
I love it. But my very favorite food is a roast chicken with garlic, some French fries, great bowl of Syrah, and a ton of ice cream. And I never met an ice cream I didn't like.
Wow, that's a good one. And what's your favorite pastry?
Napoleon, an éclair au chocolat.
Ooh.
Napoleon, fresh Napoleon. I just have my book out. You better buy it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, you're going to have to sign it for me.
Yeah, but the book is out. It's called Happy in the Kitchen by Mich Artisan, the same publisher of Thomas Keller.
Uh-huh.
And you have to look at the Napoleon, the last dessert. That Napoleon looks so crispy. So chocolate Napoleon. Oh.
I really have to learn to make one well, because I've tried many times. I'm just not really adept at it, but I do love eating them, because when I was in Ireland, it was like it had the Kirschwasser, I remember.
Okay.
But it had like some, it was like a plum inside. It was like unbelievable. It was
Mirabelle?
Like, Mirabelle, that's it, yeah.
Oh, that's so delicious.
It was outrageous.
And Mirabelle, we don't have those yellow plums in this country.
No.
But you can buy them in a can. They're good. Because, you know, I tell you the truth, in France, most of the Mirabelle, they come from the camp.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm lucky because my sister has an orchard of Mirabelle and different plums, yeah.
Where?
In Switzerland.
Oh, in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm gonna enjoy them when they fall on my head off the trees.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
That's
well,
it?
Well, thank you very much, Chef.
You're welcome.
And I hope to visit you and maybe bring my brother from Colorado to come and see you, because he said... Say hello to Chef for me.
All right. Thank you. Say that to him, too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Merci, Chef. Bye. Well.